was excellent.
It really was. Yeah.
It had kind of, I don't know if I had forgotten about it, but it reminded me of comparing that story to what happened in Genesis. I thought tying those two together was pretty powerful.
I wish he would just shown parts of the road to Emmaus.
We don't know where Emmaus is. There's a...
7 miles from...
No. But we don't know what they're talking about. There's a ceremonial Emmaus now where tourists can go and buy their souvenirs and stuff. The place called Emmaus that we're referred to here, there are several contenders, but at the time of... And I think that's always intentional when something like that happens, because the Emmaus is right there on that altar in church, you see, where we go every Sunday. But the physical place of Emmaus is still a mystery, where they were going to. There's one place 7 miles away that they... Okay, it says 7 miles away. There was nothing 7 miles away, you know? So what do you do? There's a place with a similar name. I forgot the similar name, but it's like 20 miles away. Was that it, you know? So, but I think that's it. That's, again, intentional, that we don't know where the real Emmaus is.
What was a mile back then compared to a mile today?
There was no, well, yeah, I mean, it's Emmaus is unknown, is the bottom line. I mean, it's known, it's right there, it's right a few steps away from here.
I think the other thing that's neat is this gives us our group to reflect on the model for apologetics, you know, and how to bring people to the Lord,
Yeah, mild is not meaningful. I mean, they didn't have milds. And
the thing that hit me the most of that video was this road to Emmaus was much deeper than I thought it was.
Yes.
It just wasn't, he said hi to these two people.
Right.
You know, it went a lot deeper than that. I never would have put that together.
I would not have either. That's what hit me the most, too.
Luke is very famous. He's really a very gifted and brilliant Greek scholar, and he really, throughout his gospel and in the book of Acts, he does a lot to echo Old Testament things, like the child John leaping in Elizabeth's womb is supposed to harken back to David leaping before the ark, bringing it into Jerusalem. Luke does that constantly to tie things. He likes to telescope salvation history together and bring it all together. And for the Jews at the time, a lot of these images and a lot of these turns of phrase would have been well known to them. They would have gotten it. We sometimes don't get what they got.
It was their culture.
But like you said, like their eyes were open. Immediately, I think a first century Jew would have thought about Adam and Eve.
Our culture is whatever NFL, football, or Dancing with the Stars, whatever, none of that.
Whatever's trending on social media. Mm-hmm.
Their culture was even the apocryphal writings of Scripture, you know, the non-inspired books.
And the stories of the time.
That was really great, Christy.
It was.
I really enjoy taking like a little piece of Scripture and just diving really deep in it. You know, it's fun to me to see all these things tied together that I never thought about.
I had several options, and she sent me this one, and I said, "Do you? I want to watch this one." That was her very word.
And you're not even married. You know.
This is the one I was researching, and I found
she was homilizing with you.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's too funny.
And you know, this is one of the more common questions about which day do we observe as the Lord's Day. You know, the Sabbath is Saturday, you know. Seventh-day Adventists are appalled that Christians go and do this, you know. Even some of my Jewish students have asked me, why did you do that? Why did you switch? Switch the Sabbath from the Sabbath to the next day and so forth. But it's an old covenant, new covenant sort of thing. You know, before the Messiah came, there was always this looking forward, this anticipation to his coming. Hence, it was always at the end, you know, the end of the week. The Saturday is the end of the week, right? And then this pivotal event happens, the Paschal mystery, the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus, which history hinges about. And as he mentioned, it's a new creation. Jesus and the apostles that he authorizes to do so recreate the world. So there is a new creation, a new day of the Lord that we celebrate now called Sunday, which is the first day of the week, because that's, you know, we're living in that new day. We're living in the age to come. The age to come has come. It's no longer coming. It's here.
I forgot who the Catholic scholar was, but he said that there is a sort of a foreshadowing of that all throughout the Old Testament, that the first seven books are the Pentateuch, and then we have Joshua.
First five books, you mean?
The Old Testament.
Yeah.
Or, the first seven books end with Judges.
Which is really
kind of the low point of human faithfulness. But then everything the Lord does, he's always resetting the cosmic calendar, resetting things.
That's right.
The book of Ruth that follows, you have a beautiful story of faith. Your people will be my people. Mm-hmm. And, your faith will be my faith. But it's like the eighth book is reset, sort of resets everything, and resets it in a way that is really beautiful. Ruth is a beautiful book. And right after Judges, it's a welcome relief.
Yeah.
And so,
and it's a marriage setting, too.
Yes,
exactly. And so our Sabbath is, of course, the eighth day.
Yeah. When I was young, all the stores were closed on Sunday.
Yeah, yes,
exactly.
So it would make sense that they would make that the Lord's Day, because the stores were closed. Nothing else to do, so you might as well go to church.
Well,
it was just good marketing.
Well, you were young once?
Yeah.
I wasn't. I was born old as
well. My mom says I was born a 90-year-old man.
Well, yeah, I mean, and what Bishop was, God bless him, for speaking out, but he said, people don't go to church because kids have soccer games on Sundays or whatever, baseball games, whatever that they have to go to. And the kids are, you're ostracized in your schools or whatever if you don't participate in those things. Mm-hmm. And those things are winning out over making Sunday what it's supposed to be, a day devoted to the Lord. That's where I admire Jews so much, not so much the rigor, the ritual, the you can't turn a light on because that's kindling a fire, but you could rotate a shutter. That's okay, So you turn the light on Friday before evening, and then you just shutter it on or shutter it off. Just don't throw the switch, whatever you do, or hire a Christian boy to come in and throw the switch for you.
But they do take the Sabbath more seriously.
But they take the
do.
They spend the day. I mean, the Sabbath is to be devoted to God. All 24 hours of it. Studying Scripture and the Jews I know, many of them anyway, not all. They have the same, many of them the same problems we do, but the devout Jews do that. It's studying God's word. It's not like, well, I'm going to go to the beach because I could see God in the beauty of nature. Yeah, you can. But that's not, that you could do that in it. The idea of keeping the Lord's Day holy, kadosh, sacred, set apart for God. This is a day that only you, God, this is yours. And that's another, I love why we do what we do here in this room on Sundays, because it's exactly what we're supposed to be doing on the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
Or our Sabbath, the new creation Sabbath, the eighth day.
I had a Jewish friend invite me over to his house for the
Seder?
For the Seder meal. But he said, don't worry, we don't do anything religious.
So why should I waste my time coming to your Seder?
I was looking forward to it. I was going to see a little culture. No, we don't do anything religious.
There's a lot of, I hear even in Germany now, the Jews are, the liberal branch of Judaism is split again with even a more liberal trend amongst them. They're probably the ones who don't believe in God or anything else like that.
They had a million new Muslims in Germany.
Yeah. Well, that's
all, that problem too.
It's all part of God's plan. When those Muslims start to, take over, maybe then we'll come to our senses and say, what have we done? But
So, Deacon, what do you want to do now? Do you want to talk some more about planning? Or, because I had also thought about maybe doing a rosary, and I don't know if we have time for it or not.
No, we have time. It's still early. I mean, it's only 10:36, so we could... Massive fire breaks out at Disney. That's interesting.
Oh, wow.
I wonder if DeSantis started.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I see smoke coming from this. Governor, what should we do? Pour some gasoline on it. That'll do it.
Yeah, well, I had Christy sit in church at a strategic spot so she could keep an eye on the house.
Because I put the oven on.
She was cooking, and I wanted her to be able to see the smoke.
And that oven's so old, I was like, I don't know what's going to happen with this oven. But no, it works good, actually.
When this place gets to be redone, if that ever happens, I don't know if it's going to even be redone by next year now, but we'll see.
How much have they raised so far? I think they're
looking
for
$35. We have enough to pay for it.
Okay.
But they've put the brakes on it for a lot of complicated
things. They better be careful, because with building costs and materials and the supply things going up, the $35 they budgeted may not be adequate.
Yeah. Oh, no, there's a lot. I think we have $85.
Oh, marvelous. Fantastic.
That still be able to pay the whole roof.
Because lumber cost almost tripled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. There's been a delay in the renovation, so we'll be here for it. The only thing that's going to happen is this carpet's supposed to get torn up because somebody with bad mold allergies, and Alcoholics Anonymous, I think, can't be in here because of the carpet, which probably means we shouldn't be in here either, you know. But
wow.
So they. The Father Merrick asked me, would you mind if it was just bare floor? I said, no,
I don't care.
Who cares? You know.
It's kind of better.
It's
cleaner.
It's easier to keep.
Easier to keep clean.
Really
the sound would be carried better, you know, because of the echo and the reverberation.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a good video here that, you know, summarized a lot of stuff for us.
Do y'all want to do a little bit of the rosary?
It's fine with me.
Fine with me, too. Let's get a firm plan, though, about what are we doing. Are we taking a two-week break? Let's take a vote on
that. Why not?
I say yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, so we'll take a two-week break.
For the next 2 weeks?
For the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
And then when we come back, Andy, you want to do 2 weeks' worth of Islam?
Okay.
That'll be fascinating.
I'm going to bring some Islam friends with me to make sure you're accurate.
Are they bringing their machetes with them?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
tell them they have to check the suicide vest at the door.
Yes. I was going to say, they always wear these big, thick vests. I don't know why.
Well, then, if they're bringing their machetes, I'm bringing my Glock.
Your Glock.
If they want to bring a machete to a Glock fight, God bless them. God help them.
So we'll be back the 7th?
Is that right? Is that the date? Yeah. Okay. So 2 week break.
So 2 weeks off.
And then a couple of weeks with Andy. And then I could put something together on, if you want, on, you tell me. Or if anybody else wants to do it, on Veritas Splendor or on.
And Christy wants to do heresies.
Heresies?
She can't wait to teach us heresy.
Yeah, I think we should do a movie night.
Like she wanted to have a heresy party, didn't she?
I guess
that's right. She talked to Richard. She talked to.
But that's why the what were we talking about? What are the Knights of Columbus? What are they?
Masons.
What
is there a particular heresy that you think?
I am a Mason.
You are you? Mm-hmm. You got to resign. You know that.
Oh, Richard.
Why do I have to resign?
Because it is totally incompatible with the Catholic faith,
I haven't been doing it for.
Well, that's good. God bless you. But you need to repent, because it honors other false gods, and it places Masonic authority above church authority. There's problem after problem after problem with it. A Catholic cannot be a Mason.
I can send you a video.
But yet they use the Bible for their.
Of course they do.
Satan uses the Bible.
That's right. Satan knows the Bible well.
A lot of people just don't know.
They don't know.
They don't know.
And that's something that I didn't realize.
Sure.
That's right. I'm sure you didn't.
Well, you know, I actually had this discussion, I won't say with what priest, you know, I'm saying, but you know, these people are in they're Masons. And he goes, but they don't know. And I said, well, isn't it our job to tell them? Because not knowing is how you invite Satan into your life. Mm-hmm. People innocently play with Ouija boards.
people innocently go to
I did that
fortune tellers.
Board. I didn't know.
You need mm-hmm. you need not
My
only to
too.
Stop. You need to repent and be and make the firm commitment never to do that again.
I guess one of the reasons why I joined was my father was one, and but I never joined when he was to be able to help out the community.
Yes.
Which
I
thought was important for me.
Of course. Mm-hmm. But there's other ways to...
And the camaraderie of...
The Knights offer you camaraderie. The Knights offer you helping the community.
But
and they do it in accordance with the Catholic faith.
You should check out the Knights clubs. Have you gone
really
to any of their meetings?
They won't allow me.
Why?
What?
Because I'm not a Christian.
What?
Wait, you're not a Christian.
What do you mean? The Knights here
be,
at
well,
this parish?
To be a Knight, you have to be what they call it's a practicing Catholic. They call it a practical Catholic. So, you
so they told me I couldn't go to the meetings.
Because you're not you're not in the church yet. You're not a Catholic yet.
Well, I've been coming into the church for the last, 9 months to a year now?
Well, we got to get that fixed for you.
Yes,
I mean,
maybe in the next 2 weeks.
Because I've been wanting to.
Yes,
in the next 2 weeks, we'll get that. But let's get together.
And I've talked
and
to Rick
fixed.
A couple of times about it.
Yeah. And after you get in, you can help over at the fish farm.
I've been wanting to do that, but I just.
Okay,
it's
we'll
kind
work
of.
On that, right? We'll get in that direction.
Yes.
Work on.
Yes.
That's a good place, Richard.
Because one of the reasons why I want to join a church, I came from a quite large Episcopal church. 3,000 members up in the Philadelphia diocese, was to find not a very large church, and not a very small church, but a medium-sized church that I could be part of the church family.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
yes.
Give back to the church family.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of my goals.
Because
mm-hmm. That was important to me. Because that was one of the things, the church I had up in Pennsylvania, we did an awful lot of community service.
Mm-hmm.
There was a group of us that would, if there was a serviceman who was overseas and his wife and children and family, whether it was parents, grandparents, if they needed something, like repairs to their house or something like that, the group of us would go there and just do it.
That's what the Knights do, though.
That's
what the Knights do.
I think all the things you're talking about, service to others and have a sense of belonging and a sense of community, are very important. But the most important thing I would tell you is that receiving the body and blood, mm-hmm. soul and divinity of Jesus Christ and having the sacraments, especially the sacrament of reconciliation, to prepare your soul for life eternal, to prepare your soul for judgment, to prepare yourself for heaven. That is the only most important, crucial, existential thing. The others are wonderful, delightful icings on the cake. But the first and foremost is having the truth and having Jesus and having a soul prepared for heaven.
And I got too many coats and I've given some of my coats away.
That's good.
I've given clothes that don't fit me away to the thrift shops instead of throwing them out.
Mm-hmm.
But remember what we said at the beginning of the class, I don't know if you were here, but there's a lot of very thoughtful, nice, charitable, giving people in hell.
I do remember that. This is why I'm here.
And we love that you're here.
And we love
we
that
do.
You're here.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know,
that was one
we
of the
want,
why
we want everyone to go to heaven.
Others.
That's
uh-huh.
right.
We want everyone to go to heaven. And to the extent that any one of us is here or any one of us runs into anyone, another human being during the week, you know, our first and foremost mission, the Great Commission, is to bring people to witness to Jesus, to bring people to Him, and to bring people into His the body of Christ. And so we are delighted you're here. And the reason why we're here is to help each other get to heaven too, because none of us have got our ticket punched
That's
and our passport stamped, and we're just waiting to go. it's a lifelong work.
We could do something wrong tomorrow. Then,
I want to find out exactly what the Knights mean when they say a practical Catholic. Does that mean you have to be confirmed? Because you have been baptized.
Yes.
And you've been baptized in a church whose baptism we recognize. So if you were to go to confession, you would be living the life of a practical Catholic, even though you haven't been officially received into the church, until we get some of these other issues resolved.
Which can happen soon. Maybe the next couple weeks.
Maybe over these next 2 weeks, Richard, let's you and I get together and get all these issues resolved once and for all. And then let me see what... I mean, the Knights, you want to get up, hook up with the Knights. You have to leave the Masonic Lodge. You have to leave that.
I haven't.
Yeah, you have
to. It in 4 years.
But you have to repent of ever having done that.
Okay.
It's like the Ouija board, you know. You mean people make mistakes and they do that.
The way that the ceremonies go, that they do, and I won't go into them, but it's very church-like.
Yeah, so it was the Knights. The Knights are very... They copied the Masonic, I think, as said that Father McGivney. I think he was brilliant. He said, we just don't say and tell people no. Let's give them something to say yes to. And there was an equivalent fraternal organization, the Knights of Columbus, that he founded, that mirrors a lot of the rituals that you see in Masonic lodges.
But I just kind of felt discouraged that I couldn't be part of
Don't be discouraged. Just...
Well, I mean, you are part.
I'm not saying I'm giving it up, but I got a number of things on my plate that I don't want something that's going to bring me down.
Right.
Though I can, you know, fight the fight. Mm-hmm. Is it worth it?
Yes, it is.
Absolutely. What Deacon Henry is saying is he can help you get there without putting anything more on your plate. In fact, this process will take a huge burden off, and it'll open up such graces, such
that's
love.
That's kind of what I'm looking for, is to be part of a community.
Yeah.
To be able to go
you,
out
you
and
came
help
to them. The right place.
Yeah.
I'm glad I brought it up now.
Yeah. Because, you know, can I say, you would, in our conversations, there were two separate occasions where you had planned to get married, correct?
Yeah.
Until that is resolved, if you agree not to marry, go to confession, you could be received into the church. Even though you're not confirmed, you'll still be received into the church.
Well, actually, at this point, that's been nullified. I don't think that
puts things in a very different perspective. Because you were planning, there were two women that I know you told me you were planning, but it didn't work. Okay, you're currently unmarried. As long as you don't get married until... the previous marriage is the issue is resolved. Mm-hmm. There's nothing preventing you from, as a baptized Christian, going to confession and being received into the Catholic Church.
Okay. And then I'd like to do it that way then.
And then confirmation will come. We could work on that. And you know.
And then within a little bit more time, be able to get that paperwork.
Yes.
So if it's in the future that I do decide to get married, because I don't want to live in sin.
Of course, that's the whole point.
The paperwork now too. Simultaneously.
We just need some legal documents from court that he's been having for whatever reason. They're giving him the runaround, and I can't get them because if I call, they're going to say we can't talk to you. We got to talk.
It's kind of like the HIPAA law.
But a lot of this stuff should be clerk of court records. I mean,
yeah, but the problem is you got to get that right form, and as you know. If you don't get the right form, like a DD-214 is, your exit paperwork from the military. If you don't get that right form, they're not going to talk to you. They keep rejecting, and I can't get someone to tell me what that form is.
Well, those are things that could all be worked out, and there are people like Deacon Henry or the clerk of court or a lawyer who would volunteer his or her time. I'd be more than happy to help with that. More than happy.
Meet at the office and do it here?
Yeah.
Right?
I tried at the library, but I am real hesitant.
Use a computer, you mean?
Yeah, I'm real hesitant because people are very good at getting information that they shouldn't have.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
It's a perfect place to do it, Richard.
And the computer I have at home is not the best. Actually, I got it from my church. They had gotten new, all the priests had gotten new new computers, so I said, would you mind if I had, if you can erase it, do anything you want with getting anything off there that you don't want me to have, if I could have it, because I just can't afford a computer at this time. And they were willing to do that with me and for me.
That's nice.
You're on the right track.
Yeah.
And we're I mean, to say we're happy you're with us is to put it as an understatement. We're thrilled that you're with us, and I admire your.
I also try to participate.
You do,
yeah,
you do.
And come out with somewhat intelligent questions.
you brought very, very many and very interesting observations, and you've opened up and illuminated many things for us. And we hope for likewise for us for you.
Oh yeah, so, well I keep coming back, don't I?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was donuts.
Well, that too. And breakfast.
Oh, the breakfast! Oh my gosh.
That was very good. Thank you so much.
Well, okay, I just love everybody here.
Here we go.
So.
From the Knights of Columbus, what is a practical Catholic from their policies? A practical Catholic accepts the teaching authority of the Catholic Church on matters of faith and morals, aspires to live in accord with the precepts of the Catholic Church, and is in good standing in the Catholic Church. There's nothing that you can't be almost immediately, as long as you don't fall head over heels in love and get married with somebody.
As long as you're not a repeat offender again.
And you know, it's so. I mean, half the people in that church have been married and divorced. You know, I mean, that's the sad thing. You know, divorce is so common even among Catholics today. Well, it's so sad.
When I got married, as most people, hopefully, you don't get married to get divorced.
Right.
You have to go through life without.
There are some I've met that said, no, we'll get married, but if it doesn't work, we'll get a divorce.
Young people call it a starter marriage. How absolutely sad.
Well, they have the wrong idea of what marriage is.
They do.
It's a marriage of convenience, the way I look at that, the starter marriage.
That's what often politicians do, because, you know, you're looked at with a stance if you're not married. Although Ed Koch did well as a politician and as mayor of New York, he was never married.
And he was gay.
And never officially, you know. Well, I hear it was never, you know, he never said himself that he is or isn't.
I don't think he ever said himself, but others who were close to him knew him after he passed said that was the case. But, you know.
It almost had to be for his situation, but he was a great mayor, you know.
Eddie, send us the title of your talk and how many weeks it'll be so we can put that in the bulletin.
Yeah.
Oh, it is one?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just plan on doing two.
Two weeks.
We'll have if we go along the first day, we'll have we'll have plenty of time for questions.
Okay,
yes.
Good.
I remember at our old parish in the Panhandle, I remember I had that colleague, a good guy, who was a Muslim, and I brought him to talk about. And this was in the Panhandle, so this was a real Air Force community, you know. And so you could imagine what people thought about me bringing in a Muslim to speak at a Catholic church. There were people ready; they had their fists up. You know, I remember one guy; he's passed on, I think, since then. But he was sitting through the whole talk, like you know, like that. And then at the end. The guy gave his talk and said, does anybody have any questions? And this guy said, I have a question. And I said, oh boy, here we go. You know? And the guy said, you haven't said a single thing that I could disagree with. Oh. I don't understand this.
Well,
him to actually to admit that.
Yeah,
that is amazing.
I taught it before. We had a Muslim there, and one of my best friends in Lake City is a Muslim. And he built a mosque between Lake City and Live Oak, a beautiful mosque. And I've had tours there before. we go out to lunch from time to time, and I try to witness to him. His wife is really hardcore Islam. He is more, he's from Bangladesh, and they actually have a tolerance in their constitution, and he's more open, and he says, I really accept a lot of what you're saying, but I don't think I'm ever going to be in a position where I'm going to be baptized as a Christian.
Yeah.
And I said, well, that's really sad, but the only time I've ever got any negative feedback from teaching this class was from a Catholic priest.
Of course.
And he said, when we were talking about what we're going to do next, he got wind of what I was going to do next, and he came to me and said, I hope you're not going to indulge in some Muslim bashing. And I said, no, I'm not. I'm just going to teach what it is, the truth.
Yeah.
And he kind of looked at me and he said, well, I know how you are.
Yeah.
And I said, well, how am I? And he said, well, you tend to be real critical and you put things down like that.
The priest said that?
No, you did not. I mean, if you don't like the truth, you're being critical.
I said, Father, the solution is real simple. Come to the class.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, because I'm against you because I don't believe what you're saying, only because I haven't heard it.
You know, one of my personal heroes that I love is St. John Paul II, right?
Yes.
And to this day, I agonize over that day he kissed the Quran.
I don't understand that.
I would never kiss the Quran. I would rather die than kiss the Quran.
Right.
And you have those who say, well, we worship the same God. It's the God of Abraham. No. It's not. If it were the God of Abraham, there'd be a big glowing orange neon arrow pointing to Jesus, mm-hmm. as the Son of God. And they deny the Trinity. They deny the divinity of Jesus. That is not the God of Abraham. I'm sorry.
What did Jesus say? Abraham rejoiced to see my day.
That's right. So, I'm sorry, it's
Mount of Olives that Jesus met Moses and, was it Elijah?
The Mount of Transfiguration.
Yeah, we don't know what mountain exactly. Mount Tabor, historically, again, whatever mountain it was.
Okay, I wasn't sure, I forgot.
Mount Tabor traditionally has been the mountain, but it wasn't the Mount of Olives.
And the two disciples were going to build...
Peter, James, and John went with Jesus. They were the executive committee.
It was funny who was the treasurer. That was
Judas.
Judas, yeah, the one that betrayed him.
He was the embezzler.
And a doubting Tom.
Well, no, Deacon said we should refer to him as Confessing Tom. And also, Thomas gets a bad rap. When Jesus hears about Lazarus passing and says, let's return, all the others say, oh my, what are you thinking? We escaped with our lives. We go back there. We're all going to get killed. And Thomas says, let's return with the Lord. We're going back with him. He was the first one to step up and man up and say, if he's going back, we're going back with him. So Thomas gets a bad rap a little bit.
Until he ran away, of course, with the others. But that's, I think there's a lesson, that was kind of the point of that homily, there's a lesson for that in us too, because we're all kind of conditional faith, conditional, I want things my way, and Thomas started out that way, but didn't end that way. So that mirrors our journey in many regards.
Absolutely.
Well, I'll reach out to that guy and see if I can get some info on his bio and stuff. And then if you want, I can watch those heresy movies and see which one might be the best to present.
Well, they're all good. The heresy movies that we're talking about.
I have your DVD on heresy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you have one. I have one. Everybody has one.
So do you want to do like Gnosticism?
I'm studying it real hard.
I want to know my heresy. There are no new heresies.
That's right.
They keep getting recycled and repackaged. Right.
Yeah. What heresy do you think would be a good one to do?
Well, I think, I don't know, we could do all three DVDs. How many are there? Two or three?
There's a lot.
Because, what's nice about how they do it is they show the ancient heresy and talk mm-hmm. about what, and but then they bring it into our time now mm-hmm. and say, this is how it rears its ugly head today. Mm-hmm. They do a pretty good job, I think, of that. So, I wouldn't mind watching all of them here.
Okay.
Because heresies are heresies,
And then I would like to do a teaching on the church and comparing it to a household.
Okay.
If you guys want.
You got it.
That's one of the reasons why the church is very, very particular about its articles of faith, the catechism and everything, and why many priests, deacons are this way and all should be this way, where we're very scholastic and very demanding because of our fallen human nature. We are very prone to get confused and off track. And once you deviate from something, once you accept something else as the truth, even though it looks real similar and real close, it leads you to a bad path. It just does all the time. And so you have to be vigilant all the time. Because otherwise you will get pulled into syncretic thinking. You will begin to adopt this along with this, and this along with the Catholic faith, and pretty soon it squeezes out the Catholic faith.
I think, as a matter of fact, I think it was Tim Gray, the guy in the movie, once said to me that, heresy is heretics. It's not what they affirm; it's what they deny. They accept everything except there's one little thing that they deny, and that's like a little cancerous cell that grows and festers, and before you know it, it kills the body. And so that's why it's so important, I think, to look at how those heresies manifest themselves. Pelagian. I mean, we're a Pelagianist. I hate to say we're a Pelagianist church. I mean, most Catholics think that all I need to do is be a good person, and I'll get to heaven. And being a good person means I'm not Hitler. That's basically what that means, And I don't kick a puppy if I see one. I like puppies. So that isn't that good enough? No, it's not.
The terrible twos.
but Pelagianism is that you can save yourself. I don't need God. I could handle this. Don't you see that today?
I've had people say in response to that, well, every Christmas I put money in the Salvation Army Bible. And I'm like, well, that's good for you.
Good for you.
Good for you.
But there's more that needs to get done.
Yeah.
All right, so we it's after 11. I guess we better pray. Christy, lead us in prayer.
Thank you for everything, Christy.
Yes.
Okay, well, let's see. Oh, I know. I'll do Psalm 34. Wait on. I think it's fitting for today.
That's a real Easter psalm.
Okay, ready? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be always in my mouth. My soul will glory in the Lord. Let the poor hear and be glad. Magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, delivered me from all my fears. Look to him and be radiant, and your faces may not blush for shame. This poor one cried out, and the Lord heard, and from all his distress he saved him. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he saves them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the stalwart one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy ones. Nothing is lacking to those who fear him. The rich grow poor and grow hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, children, listen to me. I will teach you fear of the Lord. Who is the man who delights in life, who loves to see the good days? Keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are directed toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. The Lord's face is against evildoers to wipe out their memory from the earth. The righteous cry out, the Lord hears, and he rescues them from all their afflictions. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, saves those whose spirit is crushed. Many are the troubles of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from all of them. He watches over all his bones, not one of them shall be broken. Evil will slay the wicked, those who hate the righteous are condemned. The Lord is the redeemer of the souls of his servants. And none are condemned who take refuge in him. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
I'll save that rosary on my machine.
We'll get to it.